This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. It's Raise Your Game. Every Monday, we have someone from Leadonomics. We've got two of them today in the Science of Building Leaders series. Sarah Kang and Natasha Ankulas from Leadonomics. Today's topic is being task-driven versus being relationship-driven in the workplace. The two of you here, I could smell already. I knew who was the one that was task-driven. But anyway, since we're talking about this, which one are you both?
Good morning, Frida.
Thank you for having us.
Okay.
Well, obviously, I'm certainly the one that's more task-oriented and goal-oriented versus Sarah, who's more relationship-driven.
Okay.
We both came from backgrounds in management consulting where it was very task-driven. We had policies, procedures in place just to ensure your goals are met, your deliverables are met, and your clients are satisfied. So now, as we transition to a different working environment in Leadonomics, it's important to realize you need to keep your eye on the prize, which is your goals, but at the same time, building relationships is extremely key.
Mm. Okay, So you say task-oriented and goal-driven. So does it mean that relationship-oriented people have no goals?
No, hello? No, that's not right. That's not right at all. But yes, I agree with Tasha. I am the more relationship-driven one out of the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like where she said, where we came from, there was a certain culture that we came from as well. And now we have this different feel where we're both in Leadonomics. It's important to get the job done, but relationship is a key for us as well. And it just depends on us learning from each other what we prefer best. In fact, just to quote a little bit on leadership history, actually, the behavioral side of things, being task or relationship driven, actually just stemmed from 1940s to 1950s. It evolved from the trait leadership kind of theory.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, after this, it's sort of, there were other leadership models that came in, and we'll have that in our time. But the leadership side of things, the behavioral side of things, actually, they looked a lot at task relationship and task or relationship driven kind of leadership.
Yeah. Right. So it's either or kind of thing, lah.
Yes.
So can you elaborate on the different styles?
Okay. Yes. For me, being the relationship one, even if it's being a leader of a team or a team member, I kind of focus on the softer things in this side of things. In the workplace, I look at motivations, feelings, and general well-being of team members. I prefer kind of a good collaboration kind of thing, fostering good communications. And if time permits, every relationship is kind of personal in the workplace as well. I think just to quote a little bit from Mark Zuckerberg, in terms of doing work and in terms of learning and evolving as a person, you just grow more when you get more people's perspective. And the downside is just that, of course, the downside is that if I focus too much on the softer things, I miss certain things like specific goals or KPIs that I needed to have met. Because I'm just so involved in developing or coaching someone that if I miss some decisions, it could lead to something bad happening, right? Maybe just an example, I used to work with a client who was extremely relationship-driven.
Okay.
Every day when I go in, she will ask me what I have for breakfast, what I plan to have for lunch, and what are my day's plans, actually.
Okay.
And she used to do that with all her team members.
Okay.
I could tell from outside the room. So she was very motherly, very much caring. And she used to ask opinions from all her team members before coming back to us with the answer.
Okay.
So the downside was that it just sometimes just took too long for her to get an opinion, and she couldn't be very directive in that sense.
Right.
And that just delayed a lot of things. That's what I would just say, lah. Yeah.
And this one?
This one?
Well, I think everyone knows being task-oriented means that you're very driven about your structures, your policies in place, because you're very concerned about productivity and numbers and KPI. Mm. Most people from this leadership style tend to be walking around with a to-do list all day. Now, the downside of that is obviously, as you can tell, not being able to build that relationship with your people. And obviously, this actually relates back to sometimes not even getting the influence that you want from your people.
Mm.
And wanting getting them to do what you want together rather than forcing them to it.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. So, what do you think I am?
I think it's a mix of both.
A mix of both.
Yeah. Okay. I think for you, if I could say, you are you sometimes have to be relationship driven because of the line of work, but you are also very task focused because there are things that need to be done. You're on radio, so you need to have things done. There are certain timelines you have to meet, so it can be a very task driven thing. But you have to focus. You have to twist it in a way that you are more relationship because of the people you meet every day.
Okay.
People you interview, people come on your show.
Analyze me a little bit.
Okay. We come from that side of things. We have to learn.
Okay, very good. Okay, so why is it important to understand and distinguish between both styles though?
Okay, I think it's important to have that self-awareness to really understand which one you are. Because from then, you'll be able to discern which style would apply for certain situations. So, for example, I already know I'm very task-driven. I think Frida was able to smell it, as she
smell
says.
It, I know, I know.
So then,
within 5 seconds.
Within 5 seconds of meeting me, yeah. Okay, so knowing that I'm a task-driven person, but when I come to the working place, I'm not always going to be with task-driven people. Sometimes there are going to be instances where I'm going to have to deal with people who value relationships more. So then I have to take a step back and reflect back again, okay, what does this person need? So for example, what I'll do is instead of giving them a specific deadline, I'll actually ask them, when do you think you'll be able to submit a certain work piece to me?
Tasha's right. It really comes down to self-awareness. I think over time, I didn't realize I was being a bit too people-driven, that when you miss certain things, then I'm like, oh, okay.
Never mind.
Yeah, and then you become like, okay, never mind. As long as someone is happy, you know? Mm-hmm. But so I come off as very harmonious. I don't really love conflicts in that sense. But I like to have very deep conversations with people and really get to know them as a person. But sometimes when I work with people like Tasha, actually we work very closely with each other.
Okay.
And then I have to like, okay, cut the cheese. Okay, just get things done because she likes certain ways things done. It helps me because it helps me refocus a little bit more, focus on what is actually important today as of right now. Not to say that I don't want to build a relationship with her, but that's just how she works. And if I understand her and I understand myself, we just blend a little bit better as well. And I think we both work with a lot of task-driven people. The deadline was due yesterday, actually, you know. And it can come off as very being a slave driver, but it's not always wrong in that sense. But I guess if you don't balance that out, it can cause a lot of discontentment in a way. People just don't understand why you are ordering them to do something rather than, you know, telling them what are your thoughts about it. I know. Because sometimes in a certain situation, it really just requires you to be a bit more directive.
Okay. Yeah. So Tasha won't be asking you, like, what are you having for lunch?
No, she told me what to eat for breakfast.
Ah!
That's what she does.
She told
me what coffee to order. She told me
what coffee
I should.
Order.
Yes. That's right. How much? I know.
Okay. How do you then strike the balance between both? You just take the coffee she tells you to take.
No, I was just joking.
You better be, Sarah.
No, I am. Okay, I think it really comes with a lot of practice. And you're not always going to get it right. It comes that, you know, you have to realize that it's not always happy-go-lucky at a workplace. It's not always going to be harmonious. There will be times where conflict has to happen for people to grow. Yeah, and that's throughout the number of years I've been working. When there were a lot of decisions that had to be made on the spot, deadlines due, proposals that needed to be sent out, you can't go like, how are you feeling today? I'm sorry that, you know, I have to be a bit harsh on you. Because really, client needs are pressing at that point. So I will have to be a bit more serious mode. I have this face where people say, oh, Sarah's on her serious mode now. Her face is a bit more, she's not looking at anything. She's looking at the laptop, you know. But then after that, I do try to explain to people why I had to act a certain way. It's not my natural nature, but just because of the way things were, I had to make certain direction, take certain steps, I guess. Yeah.
I think for me, as I mentioned earlier, when I get too task-driven, I do take a step back to reflect back. In an organization like Leaderonomics, where relationship is the utmost importance, I've had to actually, what I saw with my leaders is that they tend to take a step back and ask you, how are you doing? What do you need from me? How can I help you? So those questions were something that, like Sarah mentioned, practice makes perfect. Something that I needed to step back and reflect again every now and then, rather than being, again, deadlines, rules, processes, policies. Not saying that it's wrong to have that, again, it's just remembering that at the core of an organization, it's your people. So you need to be able to build those relationships very well.
Okay, now, would you say one style is better over another? We'll discuss that in just a moment. Sarah Kang and Natasha Ankulas from Leadonomics. Stay tuned to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Bizarre Football Money. BFM 89.9.
It's Racy Game. Good morning. Frida Liu here. If you've just joined us, I'm here with Sarah Kang and Natasha Ankulas from Leadonomics. We're talking about being task-driven versus being relationship-driven in the workplace. Of course, this is the Science of Building Leaders series. And Sarah here is the relationship-driven one and Tasha is the task-driven one. So they're just explaining how they work. Now, would you say one style is better over another?
Great. Actually, yes and no.
The relationship one would say that, wouldn't
you? Yes, I would. Yeah, it's true. I want to be the, you know, in between.
Harmonious one.
Yes. But it's true. It's yes and no, because it depends really on your environment, the culture you work in, what industry, I guess. Flexing is really your best option, and not one style fits all. Example, if you're working in a very structured industry where one small mistake could lead to something major, maybe things like your manufacturing or your banking kind of industry, there are daily processes that need to be made. So sometimes
you have industries I can never join. Yeah. Anyway,
well, it's true because we also came from certain very structured industries, and you needed to be a bit more task oriented. That was just the nature of the business and your job. Probably 60% more than you could be. And I guess the downside is that if you want to be more people-oriented, there's always a time factor. It does take a lot of time to build that relationship, sit down with you, have a cup of coffee, take you out and really understand what is wrong, you know, example. So it really does take a lot of time. Not everybody, I think in this day and age, not a lot of people really have that luxury sometimes that they want. I'm sure we all really want time to build that relationship with one another. But and we know it's important, but sometimes it just really can't. Like example, I mean, I've not actually met Mother Teresa in person, but I've heard and I've read a lot about her leadership journey kind of styles. And as you know, she did she founded the Missionaries of Charity in India and it dedicated herself to helping the poorest of the poor. But there were some accounts and that I've read in certain leadership articles that she could be very ruthless, like a hard, iron-willed person. And she was very politically adept as well. She could, when things needed to get done, she would literally go out and beg for money. You know, so that's task-driven in her, maybe, because she knew that if she didn't do it, nobody's going to be fed, and she needs to feed her people as well. And that's sometimes very task-driven, right? In the relationship side of things, I've read another interview that for every new person she brings into her missionary, you know, the new novitiates, she made an effort to actually get to know each one of them in person, because she knew that it was very important to build on people's strengths and their needs. So that's where she was a good listener. She tend to focus a lot on individual personalities within her missionary as well. So that's how she probably flex herself. Task-driven where she needed to be, relational-driven where she needed to be.
Right, and I think that's a challenging thing with leaders. To know when it's time to be tough and to know when it's time to be gentle.
That's true. Right? That's true. It's not always easy. Not always easy.
Yeah, I mean, as what you mentioned, Frida, about knowing yourself. So again, going back to self-awareness, understanding which style you are. And I think the makings of a good leader or a great leader for that fact is knowing when to flex certain styles according to, I think, like what Sarah mentioned, the industry, the people around you, knowing when to flex those styles around. If you take a look at Steve Jobs, for example, he's a very task-driven person. I think he was very focused on organization performance rather than people's feelings. He was quite a demanding perfectionist, pretty aggressive personality. He demanded a lot of excellence from his staff. At one point in 1985, he was actually fired because of his management style.
Right.
So there was one instance where Steve Jobs was actually engaging in an email with an employee back and forth over just punctuation. Okay? I know I'm guilty of it sometimes.
Yes. Yes, we all know that.
Yeah, but at the same time...
You suck, comma.
Yes, yes.
Comma.
Please, that's the comma.
It's true. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, but semicolon. At the same time, you know, when you look at it, Steve Jobs is able to still garner that influence and get people to follow him. He had a lot of followers. So what is it about him that he was able to manage both at the same time? Mm. So he's one example of, again, like similar to Mother Teresa, but in a different way, a different extreme, so to speak.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a story here, right, on Steve Jobs? About how he was able to motivate the employees anyway.
Yes, he was able to influence his employees through a strong desire for work, sharing his passion with staff, providing vision. So again, this brought back a lot of followers back to him, even though he was an egomaniac.
And I think some
egomaniac.
I think some people are maybe very good at the crowd thing.
That's true.
And maybe not so good at the one-on-one thing.
Yeah, so they're influential. They're influential on a mass scale, if you want to say. Because... I guess just to add on a little bit to the Steve Jobs things, task-driven, but because people believed in his vision, in that sense, that visionary style, so his motivation, or then that motivation sort of links back to being more relational in that sense, I would say. I guess it's just really two different sides of things. So they're just motivated to still work for him, regardless of his style.
Right.
And it led them to where they are today, right?
I think also employees are very attracted to leaders who are visionary. Yeah. You're taking me somewhere.
That's true.
You know, because if not, I'm like, I don't know why I'm working here. You know?
But at the same time, Frida, you want someone who's going to help you and guide you along as well. Because visionaries tend to be sometimes very self-reflective. They don't realize there are people following them as well. And how do I get these people to be on the same board with me?
To understand actually what's actually going inside my head sometimes. Because it might be very visionary, but not everybody sees that vision. So... I guess that communication down the line, it can be that relational side of things in that sense. Yeah.
In summary, girls. In summary?
Yes, what would you say? In summary.
I think, again, one of the key factors we keep bringing up is the self-awareness. Yeah. The minute you know what you are, you learn to discern certain management styles or leadership styles when the situation calls for it.
Yeah. And I guess our biggest key takeaway is that, and this is from personal experience, we work very closely with each other, myself and Tasha. We're on the same teams. We work across different deadlines, across different clients. And we really work well together because we leverage each other's strengths a lot. I guess it comes with self-awareness, like what she says. But at the end of the day, when I understand how she works, I flex to her style when it comes to it. And likewise, she'll flex to mine so that we both learn in that sense. Mm. I refocus, she tones it down a bit. I mean, it really does help. And we've spoken about this a few times, right?
So the key word is flex.
Flexing. Flexing the whole day.
Right. And both has its pros and cons, but we leverage on each other's strengths and you learn to flex once you're aware of what your style is. Thanks for being with me, Sarah Kang and Natasha Ankulas from Leadernomics, talking about the difference being task-driven or relationship-driven in the workplace. It's Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.